it, I know. But I believe harnessing power from our minds is how we elevate our magic beyond our ancestors. Saying we are harnessing our hearts is too simple. For those among us who have loved, have done so with our hearts, yes, but through a willing fault of mind as well. The first writings of Vindeci, circa year 1507. After record, also known as year 8 BV, before Vindeci. Chapter 1. Bryony thought it was strange that she didn't feel it when her brother died. The crack of the boundary evaporating rattled her ribs, and the rock scraped under her fingertips as she gripped the ledge looking out over what was left of the country of Evermore. But she felt nothing in her soul when Rory died. As his twin, she'd tugged on the thread that ran between them many times, when he was injured, when he needed help. Bryony reached for that thread now, seeking out the vein of magic in her chest that was reserved for Rory only. Dark silence was the only response. She supposed she'd had no premonition either when her father had fallen 4 years ago, and her mother had been dead already when they'd cut Bryony out of her. But when the dust billowed up like a cloud on a summer's afternoon, just under half a mile away, and the calm that had curled around her and Cordelia collapsed into rumbling chaos, Bryony knew that Rory was dead. His protection boundary around the castle had fallen. He was dead. And yet, her soul didn't wrench in half. Bryony watched the moon move away from the sun, the eclipse ending as soon as it had begun. How strange, she thought numbly. No, Cordelia whispered. Bryony looked to her right and found her friend's pale fingertips almost translucent against her lips. The wind whipped Cordelia's auburn hair around her eyes, as if trying to spare her from the sight. On the other side of Cordelia, Anna stepped forward to the balcony ledge as if in a trance, her mouth open. The sunlight reflected off the purple rose crest on her armour. Bryony looked back to the cloud of dust and ash that blossomed higher and higher to cover the moon and the sun in their dance. She saw the reflection of it to her left in the water of the lake. The last dragon flapped her spindly wings and soared away from the mess of humans on the battlefield, returning north. "Stay here," Anna said, running quickly toward the balcony stairs. She pivoted, changing her mind. "No, you should go inside. Get somewhere safe and wait." Bryony stared at her. Cordelia choked on a sob. Anna gazed back, and Bryony watched her guard's mind twirl through her plans and strategies. Anna was supposed to stay by her side. She had held her as a baby and promised her father to give her life for Bryony's. Before she could overthink, Anna darted down the stairs. Bryony turned back to the dust cloud, wondering if parts of her brother were inside of it. Her brother, who was supposed to be the one to end this war. Her brother who had been foretold. She gasped then, as if the idea of the failed prophecy was the slap she'd needed. Rory was gone. Tears filled her eyes on a shuddering inhale, and she imagined what the front would be like. 1,000 soldiers realizing that their long-held hope, their heir twice over, was just a man, after all. She shrugged off her cape. It wouldn't help her run. Neither would her slippers or draped silk gown, but she didn't have time to change. She had one foot on the stairs when Cordelia grabbed her wrist, tugging her back. "Where are you going?" The panic pinched her voice. "We have to hide." Bryony laid her hand on her friend's wrist. "If we hide, we'll be the last ones left," she said, her voice flat. Cordelia's blue eyes widened. The moment Cordelia's grip relaxed, Bryony spun and raced down the stairs,